This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
You're listening to That's the Ticket. Now, last week you may have caught the Hamilton Arts Festival Toyota Ki Kirikiriroa episode, and today I'm continuing with that theme. It wouldn't be summer in Hamilton without some Shakespeare, so I found a couple of cast members from this year's Summer Shakespeare, and they're in to kind of come and have a chat and give me the inside scoop. So Courtney and Philip are here, kia ora team, welcome to That's the Ticket.
Hello.
Kia ora.
It's kind of weird that you guys are finally here. We were talking before we went on here today, because I feel like you've both kind of come up. And so, yeah, you asked me how long the show's been going for, Philip, and I'm like, this is its sixth year. We celebrated 5 years. Well, technically, the celebration, we didn't do it till the start of this year because I was just kind of behind.
Well, congratulations now from me.
Thank you. But like, I feel like both of you have, yeah, as I say, come up on the show, and so it's nice to finally get you in for a go. And I feel like it's fitting with the Summer Shakespeare. Philip, just because you're a bit of a veteran in that space, and then Courtney, just because I have been seeing your face a lot, just quite a bit, sis.
Well, we've been in the Summer Shakespeare the same amount of time.
Really?
Our first one was... Did we have the same first summer?
No, oh, I did one in high school. Yeah.
Yes, okay. Okay, but yeah, I've definitely
pretty much
been on,
the same out.
On lots of shows that have been on That's a Ticket. I wasn't here.
Yeah. What's that about? Nah.
Work
Snubby
schedules. And not a main character.
Oh. Okay. I mean, you don't know... I'm going to assume that you're the main character in this one because your face is everywhere. Or were they just like, you know what? She's got a face for this.
Yeah, well, we took the photos before we did the casting. So we did the photos before I was cast as Beatrice. But
okay. Yeah,
Abby was like, well, I'm going to have you in it in some way, whether that's Beatrice or one of the other ladies.
Yeah.
But yeah, I play Beatrice, which is pretty cool. I have top billing.
Yeah.
Welcome, sis. But welcome to the place where I have top billing. That's the Ticket with Hannah Mooney.
Yep.
But if you haven't guessed, because we've got Beatrice, that the Summer Shakespeare this year is Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh, yeah, I didn't say that part.
No, that's all right. I think that was potentially my job as host of That's the Ticket. But, you know, it's a safe space. We're just muddling through. And then, Philip, who are you playing in this one?
I'm playing Benedict.
Have you played Benedict before?
No, actually.
Okay.
No.
Have you gotten to that point, actually, this is a question for both of you, where you've replayed a role that you've played in a Shakespeare?
Maybe if I look back on high school, but I was very lucky to get to play Shakespearean characters at school. And
Yeah.
So starting to revisit them maybe in adulthood, but no, not returned to anything in that sense. So
your time will come.
I've played Lady Montague twice, but neither of them were actually in Romeo and Juliet. One of them was in a... A Shakespeare parody sketch show that we did in about 2018,
oh,
which
was
like
Shakespeare.
Yep. And then again in Romeo and Juliet and Viola 6 years ago, I played Romeo's mum.
Wow.
So I played Romeo's mum twice. This is the first time I think I've repeated a show as much ado.
Right.
Yeah. So
okay.
I did,
sorry, yeah. Keep going.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. So Summer Shakespeare 11 years ago was Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah.
And I played Margaret.
I went and saw that.
Was it good?
Yes.
Was Margaret the best?
Yes, 100%. No, I was quite young. I think that was the second one I went to, because the first one I went to, Philip was in. It was A Midsummer Night's Dream.
I was in that too.
Oh, right, yep.
In 2012.
I was in that too.
And you were Bottom. Who were you?
I was Moth. I had like two lines. That was my first Summer Shakespeare.
Moth is who I played in my first Shakespeare at high school.
Oh, yeah.
Midsummer Night's Dream, yeah.
Shout out to the fairies.
Yeah, legit.
Fairies are cool.
Moth actually has three lines.
Oh, thanks. I
feel
I don't
remember. I still have them, but now's not the time.
In Courtney's defence, that production went on with 2 weeks notice, so if she missed a line,
really cold.
It was. I went to the 5 a.m.
It was so
good
cold.
On you.
I know, and I was like 16, 15,
yeah.
And it was the first time I'd gone to Summer Shakespeare. And I remember all the fairies coming out of the trees, and I'm like, oh, this is awesome.
That was so cool.
Yeah, it was cool, though.
Oh, and that one's worth a return at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they redid it again, I think, in 2017, 2018. Benny Marama directed it, and that was very cool.
Oh, yeah. No, that was an excellent production. I remember Anthony and him both standing out, Benny Marama and Anthony Iona standing out in that one.
A lot of friends of That's the Ticket in that one. And I guess I can't be talking about the Summer Shakespeare without a shout-out to Kelsey Curtis, because she's also kind of always around. I don't know if she's involved in this one.
No, she hasn't been at all.
Okay. I mean, no shade to you guys, but it's nice for Kelsey to have a break. I'm just going to put it out there, because she's just kind of similar to you guys. She's just always there. And I'm like, you good, sis?
Yeah, it does take a lot from people doing the Summer Shakespeare, I think, is often quite a tiring production. It often falls on one or two people's shoulders to keep it running, and Kelsey's been one of those people that have taken that on. Big shout out to her.
I think all of you, because it's really cool. The Summer Shakespeare is really cool as a patron, as an audience member. And then I think of you guys about, like, the rehearsal window is probably challenging, you know, because it's like summertime. It's outdoors. I'm assuming you guys rehearse outdoors?
Yes. And when it doesn't rain.
I'd say that's one of the perks as well, actually.
I really like it.
It becomes a, no venue required aside from when it rains. You can meet in your theatre space and rehearse it in the sun, or ideally in the cooler part of the day.
It's really nice after a day at work just being like, oh, cool, now I'm going to go to the gardens for 2 hours and hang out and rehearse. It's so much nicer than being inside when it's such a beautiful day.
Oh, some Monday afternoons are surely a bit challenging.
But... It's nice being outside.
Absolutely.
It is. It's another kind of level of magic to it.
Yeah.
And I guess circling back to you guys' roles, so these are the first time that you guys have played these roles.
Mm-hmm.
How's it been going, I guess?
Good.
Really good.
Yeah. It's been fun. It's been very fun.
I mean, you have to say that. You can't be like, actually, it's been rubbish. No,
it hasn't. It has genuinely been really good. Beatrice is such a dream role.
Yeah.
Mm. And she's so sassy. It's so fun.
Do you guys have a favourite Shakespeare? I know I'm putting you super on the spot. I can go first while you think if you want.
Oh, no, I'm a big fan of some of the histories. Richard III.
Oh, I knew you were going to say
Richard. Oh, yeah, just being a nerd about it, yeah. But it's got some great lines.
I'll give you two if you want to go comedy or tragedy.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And then Philip picks a history.
I think Much Ado is my favourite comedy, but that's...
Okay.
I'm not biased or anything. My favourite tragedy is probably Othello.
Mine's Othello, yep. And then for comedy, I can't decide between A Midsummer Night's Dream and No Basic. But,
I like Midsummer
as
well.
Considering that one,
Or Merchant of Venice.
Oh,
I have a soft spot for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even though it is a comedy, but then it also gets real dark with old mate Shylock.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, she's got balance.
Exactly. I mean, think the comedies always do have a little bit of an edge. Yeah. Something we found more and more we realised with Much Ado than we thought, actually.
Mm. I mean, we love edgy summer outdoor Shakespeare. It's what we're here for. And I guess, I know we're talking about summer Shakespeare with a sense of, like, assuming everyone knows what we're talking about. So I might wind it back.
Mm.
So it's been going on for, like, quite some time. In a couple of episodes, I had Sandra Jensen on the show, and she's got a side project she always does of, like, the unofficial history of the summer Shakespeare. And it's been going for ages, like, potentially pre-me, potentially pre-you guys. Like, we don't need to go around the room and say how old everyone is.
I had a good little chat with Graham Cairns yesterday, actually, at Te Pahu, so I can give you precise dates.
Oh, let's do it.
So Slip of the Tongue is the OGs, and they formed in 1994, doing some one-act absurdist plays in Garden Place.
Wow.
And then Alec Forbes was like, yeah, let's do a summer Shakespeare. So in the summer of 87, 88... which is, I think, before all of us were born. Not quite our entire cast. We had one cast member who was alive then.
Okay.
So summer of 87, 88, they did The Tempest at the gardens down by the river.
Mm. Mm.
And then the next one was Midsummer Night's Dream 2 years later, summer of 89 to 90, which was No, I didn't write down where that one was. I think that was down by the river, but like in
Grantham, I think.
And that was also the first Dawn performance. That was Alex's idea as well.
Wow.
They did it for Midsummer's Night. They did on the summer solstice. They did an evening show and then a dawn show.
Oh, that's cool.
So big credit to Alec Forbes is some of the big ideas that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised at all by that because he's a goat and incredible. Mm-hmm. If you ever have the joy of watching him perform Shakespeare, it's always like out the gate.
I'd be delighted to see him back at some point.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Hey,
really
Alec, cool. You heard us. You have to do it. But actually, I remember it was a fundraising campaign for the Meteor Theatre's toilets, Love Our Lows, and he did a monologue, I think it was from The Tempest, or it was something in the urinal, in the old men's urinal. It was disgusting, but it was really compelling. It was really compelling, and I remember he made it flush so he could, like, be...
fantastic. I do remember him doing Prospero down by the river at some point.
Yeah.
I think that was, one of the last sort of truly slip of the tongue.
Yeah.
Or had a lot of the originals in it, which was really cool to see. I think Katie Hansen might have directed that one.
Yes, I remember seeing that one as well, I think.
Yeah.
And, again, it was at 5 a.m. and I was like... It is cold and I'm slightly sleepy. But it's cool that the dawn tradition has kept going on.
Yes.
And especially, you know, because it's one thing me being like, oh, I got to bring my thermos and sit there, whereas you guys are like on, you know.
Yeah.
But I think what's cool with this year's Summer Shakespeare, and I love them all equally, is you guys have got, like, you're all over the show with this one.
Yeah. Mm.
But by all over the show, lots of different locations.
Yes,
guys.
Not the other meaning. Yeah.
Well, I consider myself all over the show.
Accurate, Philip, no.
Chaos.
Yeah, so we have 8 shows in total. Would you like to talk about them, seeing as I've conveniently written them down here?
Oh, yeah. So we've got several shows in the gardens, the 21st and the 22nd.
No, I'm just fact-checking your notes on my notes. Mm, please continue.
Oh, please do, because, I also
reading them.
Yeah, these could all be wrong. And then we've got the Dawn show on the 1st of March.
Correct.
So come and see us at 5 a.m. Mm. But then we're getting out and about around the city. We do Garden Place.
Yes.
And we've also got Victoria by the River, and then we're heading to, and those are on the 6th and 7th of March.
Correct.
And then on the 8th, we're doing the Waipar and getting out to Cambridge and Te Awamutu. So we'll be doing both on the same day, on the 8th of March.
12 p.m. and 5 p.m.
That's the one, Cambridge at 12, and then 5 at Memorial Gardens. So, we're going to have to, we'll be sweating it out that day. And then finishing off in Te Aroha, which is where one of our cast members actually resides. So going out to his stomping ground to visit the gardens out there.
Yeah, that's the Te Aroha Domain on the 14th of March, 3:30 p.m. show.
Correct.
Boom. There we go. I'm glad that everyone knows the dates. Because I think that's the thing. I always tell my actors, before we go on air, that I have their show dates written down. Because I'm like, you guys are... I always get to talk to people when they're in the absolute trenches of, like, production week.
You're like, oh, I'm not thinking past the end of this week.
And I'm like, I'm just sitting here being like, hey, how's it going, blah, blah, blah. And you guys are like, I'm so tired. There's so many rehearsals. Like, the whole show is running through my head. But, like, how long has the rehearsal period been going for this one?
We started nice and early, actually. We probably November last year.
Yeah, that'd be about right.
We did a good
month
or two before Christmas, which was really good.
Yeah.
and then had a few weeks off over Christmas and then came back about a month ago.
That's often the rhythm of it. You take a little bit of time before the new year and Christmas time and sort of then tell everyone, go home and do your lines while you're away with your family and come back ready to go.
Did you do your lines when you were away with your family, guys?
We did our lines with each other.
I was still working and you weren't.
Yeah, we were both still working, like both of us. Didn't get time off over Christmas and that, so we met up a couple of times.
But I think we both came in pretty close to...
Yeah. I definitely was drilling them with my mum after a few wines on Christmas Day at about 11 p.m.
Love it.
Nice. Yeah.
It was really fun.
Nice. Shout out to the mums.
Yeah.
Mm. Shot mum.
Love you, mum. She's pretty cool.
That's great. Is your mum listening?
Yes.
Okay, my mum will be listening as well. She listens every week. Philip, does your mum love you? No, I'm
kidding. I hope so. I will have to recommend the show to her. So
yeah, she can
I'm not
catch
sure
the
she's
podcast.
A frequent reader. Yeah.
So we'll be there. And then I guess quickly, other people involved in the show. So there's usually quite a cohort. So I'm not going to get you to name every single cast member because that's dangerous.
I do have a list.
Do you?
Yeah, but it's on my phone. Give me one second.
No. You don't need to.
There are about 20 cast members, no, including musicians and crew.
So. We can get into that in a bit. I was mainly going to ask you about your director.
Oh, they're pretty cool.
Oh, yes.
You've got a team, that's right. Okay. Friends of the show as well. Tell me who you got.
So Abigail Von Arzen, Abby, has been she's listed as director and Nick's listed as assistant director.
Right, okay.
Words not happening. So Abby and Nick have had this idea, I think, for years of doing a Regency set, Much Ado About Nothing.
Mm.
They've been co-directing. It's Nick's favourite comedy.
Nick Borcher, by the way.
Nick Borcher, I should probably say
Nicholas
his surname.
Borcher,
he is a person. It's his favourite play.
Mm.
He knows the whole thing off by heart. He's like, the whole time he's been prompting us without a script.
Yeah, once we went scripts down, he would start prompting without, and he wouldn't even have the book in his hands.
Yeah, he just knows the whole thing.
That's impressive.
So I think for both of them, it's a favourite show. The Regency setting that we're doing as well, I think, is...
My understanding is a little bit convergent, because when they had a conversation, I think they discovered they both had designs on doing that play, and one of Nick's, if not Nick's, favourite play, speak for him there, and Abigail had seen this, Abby had this fantastic idea of Regency, is my understanding.
It's Bridgerton era is where I've been putting it, and there's been a lot of promo material, and I think that explains this first song that I've got lined up from Abby, which is Thunderstruck by Two Cellos, and spoiler alert, it's cellos. I think it's a great choice, and I'm not sure if Abby's aware of this, but we are in Chiefs country, and the Gallagher Chiefs theme song, when they run out onto the field, is in fact Thunderstruck. So I feel like it's a very like Waikato.
As a former Chiefs cheerleader, I should know that, but don't.
It may not have been always.
Oh yeah, true. This was a while ago.
But I'm really keen to unpack you being a Chiefs cheerleader at a later date. Because that is amazing.
It was pretty fun.
But anyway, we'll play Thunderstruck by Two Cellos, and I guess I'm going to dedicate this to your director. Well, one of your directors. So this one's for you, Abby. Thank you. Scott Abbey. That's not a bad track. I get why you picked it. It's kind of paying homage to how this year's Summer Shakespeare, Much Ado About Nothing, is that Regency era. If you're thinking Bridgerton, you're kind of on the money. Mm. I do want to do a quick shout out to the Waikato Summer Shakespeare Facebook page. There's been some great content on there. A little bit too much Philip for my life.
I fully agree. I didn't see quite how, quite know how far all everything she filmed
went. I thought that was your idea.
I suggested it, but I didn't know that she hadn't viewed the what I was suggesting.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Oh, God.
Okay.
If you want to know what we're talking about, you should go check it out. And just context that Philip and I have known each other for a very, very long time, which is why I've been throwing shade at Philip.
Yep, she's stitching me up.
Yeah. You can try, Philip. You can try and throw it back, but I don't know if you've got the razzmatazz for that.
Yeah, I'm not the shadiest character, so no. But you know. I'll have my revenge.
Yeah, I'm sure you will, bro.
I'll be revenged as I may, to quote the play. This is the line I was looking for.
Look at you go, little nerd.
Yeah. Hey, look, I've got to know my lines by this point.
That is good. That's what every director wants to hear, and both of yours may be listening. So shot Nick, shot Abby.
Yay.
I guess shot Philip and Courtney.
Thanks.
Yeah. Come and see the show first.
Yes, and we rattled off all the dates. I don't know if I'll do it again because then the show will be done because there's quite a few of them. Mm. So, yeah, you can find out more at the Waikato Summer Shakespeare Facebook page and entries koha for this, right?
Correct.
Mm. Yeah, so just head along, get amongst it, chuck some money in the hat. We love to see it.
Yes, bring something to sit on.
Yes.
If you want to bring a picnic, bring a picnic. Technically, it's alcohol and smoke free.
Yes.
And if you want to give us a koha afterwards, you are very welcome to. Please bring cash, though.
Yes.
Had lots of people last year asking if we had a bank account they could put money into, and we're not that official. So.
Now, what I think this is good for, though, is because cash is so much less of a thing. Mm. Like, I have had some cash in my wallet for like a year because everywhere I go, I'm like, I can't spend it. And so if you've got random cash, this is the time.
We are here for you.
Yeah.
We do often get a good collection of miscellaneous foreign coins. And
yeah.
That's your annual clean out. Sure.
Yeah, yeah. Go for legit.
Come to Summer Shakespeare.
Yeah, yeah. Just look through your couch cushions and then whatever you find, whether it's money or anything else, just chuck it in the hat.
I don't know many of your shows that will say that, but yeah, we'll take it.
Anyone's going to take it, it's going to be the Summer Shakespeare, because I think what is cool about the Summer Shakespeare is, don't get me wrong, like everyone, you've heard it here first, these guys are out there rehearsing, they're giving it 110%, but, and it's positive but, there's something so like kind of like homemade about it. Like, it's very authentic and it's kind of like by the seat of its pants in a positive way. I'm not implying that these guys aren't rehearsing or putting in the effort. I just mean like it's very just like, yes. I don't know the word I'm looking for, but you guys get what I'm trying to say,
yes.
Right?
Go on.
This is probably the most organised one I've done, actually.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I know what you mean, that like homegrown feel.
Credit to Abby there, yeah. I would say. Yeah. But yeah, I think even by local theatre standards, I mean, most people coming in here would be amateurs as well. But
yeah.
I think one thing that's really brilliant about the Summer Shakespeare is that it takes the smell of an oily rag to the extreme. Like, we will not worry about a venue. We're not worried about, we'll rehearse in a garden. The scripts are all free. There's no rights. It's just,
it is.
There are music rights.
There are music rights sorted. Yes. So, do not be shy.
It's grassroots as, but music rights is exciting.
Mm.
Yes.
I can't ask you what's being played, eh?
No, I was told that you would. So,
okay, great.
So we do have a few like classical pieces because you don't have to pay for the rights for those.
Yeah.
But there's a few modern.
In theme? Very in theme.
And in theme, yes. But there are a few modern pieces in Bridgerton-y style. So we have two violinists. Nathan. Oh, I don't know how to pronounce his surname. Pook? Nathan Pook? I don't know how to pronounce Nathan's last name.
Oh, we could just say Nathan.
Nathan and Matt Bentley, whose last name I can pronounce.
Oh, Matt Bentley is a good family friend of mine.
Yeah, he's a good dude. So they're our fabulous violinists. And a few songs done by strings, including Holding Out for a Hero. Which
Yeehaw, that explains why I have that on the playlist.
It is why you have it on the
playlist,
We'll see
if we get there. We'll see if we get there. Because we know I've got to squeeze in Uncle Rick's pick next.
Oh, yes.
But, Holding Out for a Hero. Any other songs you want to plug?
I was told the rest of them are surprises.
Okay. Well said.
All in theme, all in the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I guess the one thing I always like to talk about when I have, you know, Shakespeare on site, I guess, on the show, is I don't know if this relates to you, but I harp on about it all the time, is that with Shakespeare, I just want to say to people, don't be, like, put off by, like, the old-timey language, because you will be surprised by, like, how quickly your brain will figure out what it needs to figure out. Because for me, at least, it's like the first 2 minutes, I'm just like, okay, and then it's like it just clicks. And yep. Especially if you've got good actors, and I have no doubt that there's going to be some acting. No, I'm kidding.
There will be some acting.
Some acting.
Yeah.
Well, there's a few Pride and Prejudice references that have been chucked in there as well. So if you're a Pride and Prejudice fan, there'll be a few little
yeah. See if you can pick them out. Yeah. Spot the Austen and the Shakespeare is a challenge.
But yeah, I'd like to think it's pretty comprehensible.
Yeah.
You get the idea from the inflection and whatnot.
I mean, I think all these things rely on. It's to be performed, like studying it in an English context, and I think English teachers do a fantastic job of trying to bring it across for students, but it's to be performed, really. And I think, you lose something if you're just reading it off the page or in a classroom context. I'd favour it more in a drama, as a drama compulsory text, rather than an English compulsory text, Shakespeare.
100%. And I guess, like, if there is anyone listening who's, like, worried or wants to know a bit more, now I'm going to ask my guests to tell me a bit more. Like, not quite plot summary. It depends how spoilery you want to get. But, like, you know, tell me a little
bit
about the play.
It's a 400-year-old play, so I think you're probably...
Anyone up for that, though? Kind of just give me a brief, like, what it's all about.
Okay. Well, basically, the play follows two couples, or would-be and won't-be couples. Benedict and Beatrice, who we play, are two characters that are very much at each other's throats through most of the play, and have an ongoing merry war of banter together. Meanwhile, we've both got other characters, Hero and Claudio, friends of each character, and they spark up a romance and fall in love spontaneously.
As they do.
And there's a wonderful prince played by Zach Lee Guinam. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right, Don Pedro. Sure. And along with these two lovers and the prince, they set a plan in motion to make Benedict and Beatrice fall in love. All the while, we've got a villain in the background, because it wouldn't be complete without a third plot. Who pulls who tries to pull Hero and Claudio apart, and from there chaos ensues. And hopefully we come towards a happy ending at the end.
Yeah. Okay. A plus, Philip Garrity. That was pretty good.
I'll try.
I mean, if anyone's gonna, what did they used to call it? It's we used it at school, and it was like it was a site where it would help you understand Shakespeare.
Spark Notes or No
Spark
Fear
Notes.
Shakespeare or something?
Yeah. It's very Spark Notes of you, Philip. Thank you.
I try my best.
But, I guess I want to say, just if you've never been, now's the time, team. And if you have been, go and see if it's any good. I guess that's the gist of it, right?
I never thought that Shakespearean comedies were actually funny until I saw a summer Shakespeare production 17 years ago. And then I was like, oh, this is actually really good.
Do you remember what it was?
It was Taming of the Shrew 2009.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And I had always been like, the comedies are kind of dumb. And then I saw that and was like, oh, I love it. And then,
That was Ross McLeod's Petruchio, was it? Or?
I don't remember. I know that Lou was in it. I know that Ross was in it. I don't remember exactly who was who.
That's Louise Drummond is the other name being referenced there. They're both regulars in the Summer Shakespeare, and Ross and both directors of the Summer Shakespeare in the past as well.
Yeah, are either of them involved this year?
No, not this year.
Oh, okay. All right.
Ross will be filling in for Glenn on our last show. On our Sunday the 8th of March, our two Cambridge and Te Awamutu shows, because Glenn is in Parade and has important rehearsals for that.
So with
Glenn, who plays the parson.
Okay. Is there anyone else you want to name drop?
Oh, I could name drop it like everybody if you'd like.
Okay. Give it a go.
You know about us. Hero is played by the wonderful Kira McGregor. Claudio by Jared Woolridge.
Jared Woolridge.
Yeah, there we go. We've switched Leonardo to Leonata.
Yep.
In a very Mrs. Bennet style paternal role as Janine Swainson.
Friend of the show.
Yes,
she's
indeed.
She's fantastic.
I love this game. Mm-hmm. How many people have been on That's the Ticket? Mm-hmm. All right, keep going.
We've referenced Zach as Don Pedro. Mm. Iris Riddell is playing Margaret. And I quite like what we've done with the character of Margaret. Actually changed that up a little bit.
Nice.
Jermaine Clover as Baraccio. Kieran Warner.
Of the show.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Kieran Warner as Don John, the very villainous Don John. Glenn Matthews as the parson.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, he's great. Tim Von Arsen's Dogberry, being a silly cop as per Tim's
usual. Yes. Yep. No, he's got a fantastic Dad's Army drill sergeant energy to him in this.
Mm. I do enjoy Tim's silly.
Will enjoy him.
The very talented Anthony Iona as Seacole.
If you're a fan of Anthony's music as well, he's making another return with breaking up the ukulele for this one as well. So along with our violinists,
heard Anthony play music on the show.
Oh,
actually.
Brilliant.
So big friend of the show.
Well, he's very much worth coming along in itself to come along and see him do a performance. So yeah, I highly recommend. And yeah, cheapest ticket around to come and see any of it. So
I have four people I haven't mentioned, and we'll can't possibly them. Let them go unmentioned because that would just be rude.
Oh, go ahead.
To be the very talented Claire Collins as Mrs. Oatcake.
Mm.
And then we have three younglings as our washerwomen / ladies in waiting, which is Cara Tor, Charmaine Gray, and Rebecca Gartner.
Okay. That's well done, mate. Well done.
I read it off a list.
I love how honest you are about your notes, because I usually try
prepared.
And pretend that we're all not reading notes.
I know all this off by heart and yeah.
Well, I mean, you've got pretty much a whole Shakespeare off by heart now.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
Yep, so I know 47 pages that you're in about.
I know half of your lines, so.
No, thanks for that, yeah.
It's good that someone does, eh? No,
yeah.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. No, yeah, she'll pick me up. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
If it's not Nick, it'll be her that picks me up on, that's how we remember it.
Yeah, legit. I mean, hey, teamwork makes the dream work.
Indeed.
And now I've got to get in a very important segment. It's time for Rick's Pick. So if you've listened to That's the Ticket, you'll be familiar with this one. So basically, I have an Uncle Rick. He's a great listener of radio, great listener of music. And when I started That's the Ticket, what episode are you guys? 253 episodes ago.
Yes.
He was like, hey, Hannah, here's a list of songs that I like. And every week you can pick one and play Rick's Pick. And every week that I have... And now I have this thing no one asked where I try and pick songs that are like on theme with like who I'm talking to and what we're talking about. And I've gone with On the Road Again by The Lovin' Spoonful. And I think it's because when I was talking to Abby, and because we've got Holding Out for a Hero and there are other kind of songs that she referenced that were from the popular hit movie Shrek.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really niche, but there's that one point when Donkey and Shrek are, like, on their journey and he's singing On the Road Again. And so I'm like, this song is called that. Job done. Thank you for listening to my English essay. Maybe I should just play it. That's probably a good time to do it. But Uncle Rick, as always, thank you. This one's for you, mate. I'm on the road again. Look out. was this week's Rick's Pick, On the Road Again by The Lovin' Spoonful. As always, thank you, Uncle Rick. We appreciate it. Welcome back to That's the Ticket with me, your host, Hannah Mooney, and a couple of castmates from the Summer Shakespeare this year, Much Ado About Nothing. We've got Courtney, we've got Philip. We also had a lovely list of every single cast member, so shout Courtney.
So happy for sending it to me.
I think it's important, you know. It's important that you... You know, because it's quite nerve-wracking, because you always freak out that you forget someone.
I didn't want to forget someone. And everyone's important. Everyone's important. It's legit. Not just about the leads or whatever.
Well, I think this is the thing with Shakespeare, and especially the Summer Shakespeare here in Kirikiriroa, Hamilton, or I guess in the Waikato region, and you guys are, because you're going to Cambridge, we're in the Waipa district now. But, like, it's a team effort, and it really is an ensemble piece, because everyone's just there, and everyone's just, like, kind of mucking in, right? Getting amongst it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know how much of this there is in your guys' production, but often you'll have people who it's like, yeah, I'm in the cast, but then I'm also helping with this costume change. Everyone's just everywhere all at once, right?
Yes.
Very much so.
I have several people helping me with various costume changes.
Yeah.
Because the thing with Regency dresses is that they do up at the back and I can't do it myself.
Okay. Did you have any kind of, who did your costumes, or do you have any sponsorship for that or anything like that?
Abby just really loves Regency. Abby and Nick, between them, have a whole lot of stuff. And then...
That's classic Summer Shakespeare.
I know, right?
To just be like, I have this.
Yeah. Raided someone's wardrobe.
Definitely some raiding of their wardrobes, Abby's husband's wardrobe, Ross McLeod's costume wardrobe.
Classic.
Kira had a couple of Regency dresses, and then she had a couple made because she's got a friend who makes dresses. I bought a couple online. Janine bought a couple online. So now I have a wardrobe of 3 Regency dresses, because why not?
I mean, I'm sure you'll find a way.
I will so find five times to wear
them. I believe it. But is there anyone else we need a shout out for this one?
In terms of our sponsors?
Yes. So obviously, Hamilton Arts Festival.
Big thanks.
Yeah, shot team.
Those guys are pretty cool. Love the Centre, Free FM, and the Riff Raff Public Art Trust have all sponsored us, which is really cool.
Especially Free FM.
Nice. Those guys are pretty good too. Especially for those non-half talk shows.
Yeah.
You have to have things like public liability insurance now. And
yes.
I believe Love the Centre and Riff Raff Public Art Trust have helped out with that. So that's
nice. Beautiful. And actually, recently, the Riff Raff statue has been unveiled. So it's just, you know, it feels like we're back to the good old days.
Back, yeah.
I really wanted to go to that, but we had dress rehearsal.
It's always the way. And I mean, I guess it's cheeky of me to ask this, but I'm going to do it because it's kind of my job here on That's the Ticket. But, like, you know, we're in the midst of Tech Week and it's all happening. Are we ready? Are we ready to go?
Well, we just did a preview on Sunday for Te Pahu, which is sort of the tradition to take it out to its out to Graham's home.
And
perform it there for the locals out there as a friendly crowd. And that went really well. Really happy with it. And I guess you were saying earlier that you interview a lot of actors that are on their sort of stress mode, but I think having done a preview show, sort of, I guess that ship has sort of sailed for us a little bit. We're just now waiting for our Hamilton Gardens ones to get rolling.
I mean, I haven't stopped stressing, but...
there's always an element of it.
Don't get complacent. No, I'm kidding.
Don't get complacent.
The complacency,
Although you did do very well, and I think you got every line right, so I think you're allowed to get a little bit...
Oh, no, I got a few wrong.
Oh, did you? I didn't notice, and I know half your lines, so...
Yeah.
And I mean, I think especially with the show particularly is... Or the way that the Summer Shakespeare is presented is like literally no show is going to be the same. Because you guys are in 1,000 different locations. Mm. You've got different people doing different roles for some of them. Like, it's very changeable in a positive way, I think. And historically it's always kind of been like that. And so I would hope as actors that kind of adds a fun new layer to it. Or you're just like,
absolutely.
Oh my gosh, I just want to be inside with like... The same old.
On Saturday when it was incredibly humid and we were trying to do our dress rehearsal, I definitely wanted to be inside with some air conditioning. But it's good. It's the fun of it. And it's so nice being in the gardens.
Absolutely, yeah.
Rogers Rose Garden spot with the gazebo. It's so pretty. It's so nice.
Yeah.
And I think it's just in theme with doing a Shakespeare. Like, as it is, you're doing it in daylight and you've got an audience that is very... often at times vocal and very encouraged to sort of, we'll speak to them and try and make eye contact with them and give them a story that it's not as, it's definitely not as sanitized as a performance that might be completely controlled. A lot of elements that for us I personally really enjoy the.
It's authentic in Hamilton in New Zealand. We've got this is quite authentic Shakespeare, I would say.
It's like it's getting back to its roots, but in some ways, I think theatre has often trended back towards this engagement with the audience and this. Because we can't just do it behind screens anymore. It's not. There's no point competing with realism with a screen or a phone or a TV. Yeah. When we're not film, we can speak to each other in a theatre, and that's what makes it really special, I think.
Yeah, I mean, well said, Philip. Car pie, bro. But I want to take a step away from the summer Shakespeare, and I know that is everyone's main focus at the moment. But does anyone have any other upcoming projects that they can talk about or would like to talk about?
Courtney's the one there.
Yes, and that's why I'm so stressed.
Okay. Hit me, sis. Safe space.
I am also choreographing Mamma Mia in Te Amuru at the Woolshed Theatre, so with Te Amuru Light Operatic Society.
Okay.
So we started rehearsing a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
There's a lot of travel, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Well, are you based in Hamilton?
Yes, but I have family in TA.
Okay, sure.
And I love that theatre. It's a fun theatre. Well, yeah. I love Hamilton Theatre as well.
Do you love ABBA still, or do you hate it now?
At the moment, yes, but let's see how I feel in a couple of months.
Yeah.
We'll look forward to that, yeah.
Okay. I mean, choreographing shop, bro.
Thank you.
Great. Okay. Philip, anything else on the books or is this you for the moment?
This is probably me for the moment. I'm probably going to be back to work and back to being, I've already come back from a bit of a hiatus to do these.
Yeah.
This and the last year's Summer Shakespeare. So yes. I'll probably just keep an ear out for something else. But at the moment, I'll probably slink back to obscurity for a little while and then wait another one.
You know, it's nice for you to take the time to be obscure, Philip. Because we've seen enough of you. I'm kidding.
I definitely feel the social media presence is a little bit much for me lately. So,
It's always nice. I think I saw you in the last Summer Shakespeare, and I'm like, oh, it's Philip. I feel like I haven't seen Philip on stage since the last one. And it's always
nice.
No. Well, I was on the aisle at least. I remember I was directing that one. But I did make a brief appearance to tell Courtney to get off the stage in a scripted moment. But one for a surprise for the audience, where she stumbles on drunkenly as a bystander and then becomes part of the show. But other than that, no, I wasn't on stage last year.
I think you sort of did the pre-show kind of hello, welcome thing.
Oh, I think I might be getting mixed. What one was it?
Are you thinking of Taming of the Shrew?
Yeah, I am thinking of Taming in the Shrew.
That's like
Taming of the Shrew. Three years ago. Oh, gosh. Sorry, Philip.
No. Similar kind of character in a way. Just I feel like Petruchio is just everything that Benedict wishes he was.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
See, I was going to say you're very versatile, but maybe you're not. No, it's a joke. That's a joke.
That's fair.
I've seen you play a lot of different Shakespearean roles, Philip, and you always do quite well.
Oh, I guess I've been doing Shakespeare a little while, but yeah.
Even at school, it was, no year was the same.
Well, thank you very much.
It's all good. It's not weird at all talking about high school theatre shows. No, I mean, it's good. It's good old days. It's where we started, and look at us now. I'm a radio host and you're still doing Shakespeare.
Yeah, how far we've come.
Hey now. But, I mean, I guess thank you for taking the time. Especially Courtney, because you're doing two shows at the moment, for coming and having a chat. And I have this question that I like to ask people where it's like, hey, you've been here for the last 45 minutes here on TTT giving me the tea, the inside scoop on your show. And so my last question for you is, how do you take your tea?
Oh, I did actually have a cup of tea this morning because my voice was a bit sore after yesterday. I like a ginger tea.
I knew it was either going to be fruity or spicy.
No, well, see, most fruit teas have apple in, and I can't eat apples.
Okay.
So, I quite like a ginger tea.
Ginger tea?
There's a paka tea that's like a three ginger one. That's probably my fave.
Okay. Philip, do you drink tea?
Oh, yeah. Milk, no sugar all the way. But, I'm fairly unfussy in terms of what it actually is. But
yeah, I was going to say, do you have a bag preference?
Oh, I think I remember doing Carvey and Ice shows, and Gabe Hall would always have this Lady Grey or something.
Oh, were you putting milk in Earl Grey, Philip?
My mum and my mum, both my mum and Abby put milk in Earl Grey. My mum and Abby take their tea the same way, which is Earl Grey with a splash of milk.
Yes, I remember this because every time it comes up and then I'm always outraged.
I'm also a milk and second person while we're getting airing the laundry.
Four tea?
Okay.
Coffee, milk and first. Tea, milk and second.
I just never thought it mattered for coffee, but okay.
It matters.
people have strong opinions about that. I mean, are we talking instant coffee though, right?
Any.
Okay. All right.
Any. Oh, maybe not like, you know, like the espresso.
But
I've learned something today.
Yeah, so have I. Nothing about Shakespeare, but no, I'm kidding.
You probably know the plot, so.
Yeah. More or less, thanks to your lovely summary. It was good, but now I'm going to take the mic back and just talk about some upcoming events, so feel free to just chill out or interject. But here are some of the cool creative happenings coming up in Kirikiriroa Hamilton in the not-so-distant future. So as you may have noticed, the iconic Summer Shakespeare is back. So we're kicking off at Hamilton Gardens, Rogers Rose Garden, 21st and 22nd of Feb, and then 1st of March there's a Dawn show, and then I don't know if I'll list all the other ones, but they're also going to be in Garden Place in March. They're going to be at Victoria on the River in March. They're going to be in Cambridge and Te Awamutu in March as well. And Te Aroha is the last one on the 14th. But as I say, visit the Waikato Summer Shakespeare page on Facebook for more info on that. And then the stage is set for Hamilton Arts Festival, which we've been talking about. And so that is returning on the 20th of February and will run until the 1st of March. The program is out and tickets are available now at hamartsfestival.co.nz. I just want to remind everyone that performances of Much Ado About Nothing are koha. So it's the cheapest ticket in town. Get amongst it. That'll probably do for now. As I say, like, I'm not the definitive guide for events because otherwise I wouldn't need guests and it's quite fun to talk to guests. But support your mates, support your creative mates, support your venues, support your festivals if you can, whether it's time, whether it's money. Just get amongst it. We're happy to have you. And, yeah, thanks again, guys, for coming and having a chat. And I, wish broken legs to you and your entire team. If you're not theatery, it means something positive. I promise.
We'll take it. Yeah.
I promise. But I'm going to play us out with the aforementioned Holding Out for a Hero. And I know that I was requested to play the version from Shrek, but that was not available on Spotify where I get my music from. So I've gone for the original by Bonnie Tyler. And, like, she's a goat, so forgive me, Abigail. I guess.
I prefer the Bonnie Tyler version.
Oh, you said that channel, but I'll take it.
Shout out for Loose the Musical.
Yeehaw. And, thanks again, team, and to my lovely listeners. You can bet that I'll be back with a fresh episode of That's the Ticker. But until then, here's Holding Out for a Hero. Matua.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
Anytime, team.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.